8 days ago, the Australian government launched its new satellite utilisation policy. And we covered that on last week's The Space Show. And we had a speech by Kate Lundy and a few other things about it, and we analysed it. Well, at the weekend, the space show went up to Canberra and right up to Mount Stromlo, where we found Naomi Mathers. And she's a member of the Space Industry Innovation Council. And she had a little bit to do with the formation of the policy. And here's how our conversation about it went. Welcome to Space Show, Naomi.
Thank you, Andrew.
There's been a satellite utilisation policy released. What is that?
Well, this gives a framework for space activity in Australia. It details the goals of the government in this area for the industry, and very clearly articulates where the priorities are, where we do see the importance of space activity and data usage, and where the activities that Australia is not focused on at the moment.
Now, let's go through the chapters one by one of this, perhaps not all of them in the time we've got. The first one's called Strengthening Australia's Use of Space. What does it mean, and how will it be done?
So, despite that many Australians don't understand that we are a huge users of satellite data, this underpins many industries in Australia, and that this has become an essential service. Much like ICT, it's very much embedded in many of the things that we do, and so it's very important to make sure that we have assured access to that data and access to that information.
ICT being information communications technology?
Yes, yes. So I don't know about you, but if my email goes down, my day's work grinds to a halt. And so that's very much like the space industry. If we lose access to that satellite-based data, then that impacts the activities of the Bureau of Meteorology, everything from, you know, I'm sure many people heavily rely on their GPS in their car, but so does many industries.
Yeah, why should Australia be involved in space is a question that the policy asks. Does it answer that?
It's making sure that we have assured access to that. So if this becomes a vulnerability to us if we don't have access to that data. So we partner widely internationally so that we are great users of that data. We contribute by adding value, collecting that data and processing it. So whether it be carbon tracking or all sorts of other applications, monitoring sea surface temperatures, there's a wide range of information. If there's a natural disaster, these are areas that we are great users of that data. So we have to make sure that we have access to it, that this doesn't become a risk to us and our industries, and that we can use those services to actually increase our GDP.
One of the things it talks about here is remote sensing. How is that important to Australia?
Well, whether it be for agriculture, whether it's monitoring climate change, we have a very large landmass. So being able to observe that landmass, there is such a long list of applications for remote sensing data, whether it be, so the Bureau uses it to track weather formations. So certainly with the extremes like Cyclone Yasi, they talk about the fact that they could track that cyclone and give such advanced warning that reduced the property damage, but also saved any loss of life. So this is a great contribution to our society.
Now, it mentions that space capabilities are the only way to effectively monitor Australia's environment. And it goes on to say that there's a window of opportunity for Australia to help write the rules of the road for space. And it says it's a strategic investment for long-term national interest.
So space data is very much a piece of the puzzle. So this is integrated with lots of land-based data collection, so it's only one aspect of the conversation. But there are some things that can only be monitored from space. So we have already, for many, many years, been participants on international panels, boards, committees, all sorts of activities that do define how the, whether it be the standards for different industries, whether it be looking at forward policy. We are a very large continent, and so if we want to be a part of that conversation, we have to be an active contributor. So we are great users of the data, but that doesn't come for free. We haven't been getting it for free. We've been participating in other ways, whether it be processing that data and making products out of it. So we have great expertise in that area. Or whether it be policy formation. We certainly have been very active contributors, and we need to continue to do that.
So that brings us to another comment that's in the policy. Australia must take an active interest in space because future supply of essential space information is uncertain. What does that mean?
Well, when it comes to, so there's a number of satellites that provide data that our Bureau of Meteorology or Geoscience or CSIRO require. We're at the mercy of the organisations or the agencies that launch those satellites, and should they choose not to replace those satellites or those sensors when the mission comes to an end, that becomes a gap in our access to that data. So we need to be part of the conversation if we're going to either encourage some other agencies to launch those particular sensors, or possibly consider hosting a payload of our own. We don't have to launch the satellite. So there's many ways that we can be involved, but doing nothing is a great risk to us that we then lose access to that information that we need.
So it's not just a matter of a fear that these countries might start charging us for what has previously been free. That's not the only reason.
That could be that's a definite possibility. Mm-hmm. They have no obligation to give us access to that data. And certainly we haven't been getting it for free as such. We may not always pay for it. Sometimes we do. Sometimes you pay for it in kind. So there's many agreements. There's no one simple, one constant way that's done. But not being part of the conversation is without managing something, then we certainly shouldn't be complaining should we lose access to it if we haven't been active participants.
And who are the main suppliers of this data? Obviously, perhaps the United States?
Oh, long list. The United States, the Japanese, JAXA, they provide a lot of Earth observation data. The European Space Agency, this is very much a global industry.
And are we looking towards the emerging countries such as India? It's got a very active space program.
Definitely, definitely. This is if we can. It's a wonderful area for collaboration. So certainly the white paper, the Asian white paper, indicated that these are emerging nations in many different areas. The Indian space program is very active. We will collaborate with other countries and other organisations as that suits the individual purpose.
Now, the policy talks about prioritising our requirements. How would that be done?
I think different industries have different requirements. Certainly access to for position, navigation and timing, so GPS comes under that sort of category, and certainly access to Earth observation data would be very high on the list. But our priorities will change over time, and I think that's why having a policy, a strategic framework, actually allows you to monitor the needs of different industries and respond to that. So one of the things that happened during the policy development was an active engagement with all the different ministries to understand their needs, to understand their usage, and understand their future needs, and to coordinate that rather than duplication or a lack of understanding where their vulnerabilities were. There was an opportunity to actually evaluate that, which is where the policy then provides a framework to move forward.
So it's not just one arm of government that uses space data?
Most definitely not. No, there are, I think, I'd make the comment you'd be hard pushed to find one that doesn't, but maybe sport might be one of those standouts.
Which is interesting, given that Senator Kate Lundy is also the Minister for Sport.
She's a very talented lady, obviously. Now, she's taken a proactive interest in this, and it's great to see her launch the policy.
The Space Show is in Canberra, and we're chatting with Naomi Mabers, who is a member of the Space Industry Innovation Council, and we're talking about Australia's new satellite utilisation policy. The document talks about space applications of national significance, and we talked about Earth observations from space, but there's two more. What are they, Naomi?
So probably the three main areas where Australia is active. So there's the Earth observation, satellite communications. So Optus is very active in this area, and certainly with the NBN, this is definitely in the satellite component of that activity. Yeah,
there will be a satellite for NBN then.
Yes, there's a defined satellite component, so that's the most pragmatic solution for the rural areas.
And that satellite is being built by an overseas contractor, or is it Australian?
No, Loral. Loral Systems is currently building that satellite.
That's American?
Yes, it is a US-based company.
Okay. And the other one?
Is positioning, navigation and timing. So that's everything from GPS to timing on banking systems to tracking packages when they or goods around the country. This is, again, a very ubiquitous type of service. Many things are time-stamped, and that comes under that.
Mm. And, of course, computer networks require accurate timing in order to synchronise the networks, don't they?
Yes. And that's where, certainly with the banking system, that's a vital part of that.
Yeah. And space, as you said, as part of that then?
Yes. And we're actually very lucky that with the different GPS systems being launched, so the Russian system and the European system, Japanese, we're actually in a bit of a crossover area. So the precision of that system in Australia will be very, very high, will be quite a sweet spot on the Earth. So there's an opportunity for Australian industries or developers and like research and development to capitalise on that and actually provide a lot of value into that industry.
One of the principles enunciated in the policy says assure access to space capability.
Well, that's again, it's being part of the game. If we want to be, whether it be a technology development, whether it be data collection, whether it be the integration of services, this is something that is vital to our country. So if we're going to maintain that access, we have to be active participants. We can't just assume that the rest of the world will just give us what we want.
And that leads us into the third principle that I've got here, which is to strengthen international cooperation. Well, strengthen and increase international cooperation. We've talked a little bit about that already.
Hmm. So we already collaborate very broadly internationally in the space industry. The Australian Space Research Program had a number of companies, or a number of the projects collaborated with international companies. It is a global industry. It is not something that many projects need the expertise of different countries and the investment, and often satellite services are better served, or the missions serve a global need. So this is an area where we can not only leverage access to capability overseas, but also we want to get our small and to medium enterprises, our SMEs, our companies into the international supply chain. We have some excellent technology development. We have some excellent processing companies that do sort of different algorithms to model different systems. We have some really smart people here, so we want to make sure that we are building our knowledge economy and playing actively in that industry, as well as tapping into those. You know, we don't have to launch our own satellite. We can buy the services from other people. It becomes a case by case basis, and that's a game where a policy is needed. You need the framework to make that decision and look at the whole picture, not just a subset of the industry.
And you need to make sure that our talent doesn't drift off overseas.
Sometimes it's nice to have our talent move overseas because it gives us, it strengthens our partnerships with international companies, but we certainly don't want to see it go all one way. We have some wonderfully talented students here, a great talent base coming through, and we certainly want to make sure we're building our economy on that investment.
Another principle in the space the satellite utilization policy is to contribute to a stable space environment.
Oh, well, a lot of that comes down to, if we talk about the physical environment, that increase in space junk, as it's often referred to, space debris. This is an area where Australia is already participating. We are tracking space debris, identifying space debris, and developing technologies that are able to identify and track even smaller pieces of space debris.
In what way is Australia tracking space debris?
So EOS, electro-optic systems up at Mount Stromlo, and they have presence in other places as well, are doing laser tracking of space debris. ANU is also collaborating on that project. Some of the technologies that have been developed as part of the Giant Magellan Telescope project are also being applied to this challenge, being able to track smaller pieces of debris and hopefully ultimately working towards being able to potentially deorbit some of these smaller pieces and clean up that environment to reduce the risk to operators in space.
You're listening to the Space Show on 88.3 Southern FM. We're chatting with Naomi Mathers, who's a member of the Space Industry Innovation Council. She lives in Canberra, and we're talking about Australia's satellite utilisation policy. In that cooperation, it talks about working with the United Nations Committee on Peaceful Uses of Outer Space and other organisations. Do you know some of those other ones?
Well, it's varied. Everything from the World Meteorological, or the WMO, through to, so there's UN COPUS, comes under UN USA, which is the United Nations Office for Outer Space Affairs, through to the major space agencies in technical, so there's technical committees, through to education, data management. We're currently at ANU, we're collaborating with a group that's looking at standardising test and evaluation for small satellites, for the CubeSats. So a lot of these issues are global issues, and so there's global groups collaborating to either define the standards, to regulate use, to coordinate access to data. It's really nice to see that this is an industry that brings countries together and brings industry together in a very collaborative way.
And talking of collaboration, one of the principles in the policy is to improve domestic coordination. What would be involved in doing that?
I think we're already seeing better coordination. It historically was an industry that was quite fractured. Because it has so many disciplines within it, that's understandable. Certainly during the policy development, saw increased collaboration between the three government agencies, the CSIRO, Geoscience Australia and Bureau of Meteorology, to look at what data they had access to, their ground-based infrastructure, how they could coordinate activity better, which then leverages off each other's activities and has a bigger impact for the community. So we're already seeing both everything from cost savings to better economic benefit from the activities that have been undertaken. It's also better for doing a review of what infrastructure there is and where the future demand will be, where the gaps are.
Okay. Now, supporting innovation, given that the department this came out of has got innovation in its name, it's not surprising that it's there, but what sort of innovations are we talking about?
Well, this is a particularly innovative industry. The fact that it works in such a, the data comes from, or the infrastructure works in, often, very extreme environments. But it generates everything from new materials through to new processes. And obviously, given my association with ANU and the Advanced Instrumentation Technology Centre, we're very excited about the technology development and the potential for developing instrumentation for future missions, supporting other groups within Australia through access to those specialist facilities that haven't been available before. This becomes a real enabler for the industry, and when you enable our industries, it's amazing what they achieve.
Now, national security one of the principles in this policy is to protect and enhance national security and economic well-being. How on earth does space affect national security?
Well, a lot of the coordination, the military uses a lot of satellite systems for coordination, for access to Earth, for imaging, looking at positioning of whether it be troops or whether it be hardware, knowing where everything is, being able to give accurate information, being able to track different systems, assured access to the space environment, making sure that those satellites aren't at risk. This is if our satellite services were taken down, that would be a huge vulnerability for this country. But it's such an integral part of all of our activities. So whether it be communicating with our troops, which is often done through satellite communication, whether it be providing them with accurate information, which we want to be very timely and with a high resolution, this has become part of our everyday life as well, and that includes the military environment.
Now, who's going to coordinate all of this?
So in the civil area, we will, as of the 1st of July, we will have the Space Coordination Office. Now that the Space Policy Unit has delivered the policy, it's no longer, the focus is no longer on policy development, so that framework is no longer appropriate. So they now move into a new phase. So it's the same group, but they now have a new task, and that is to roll out the policy and implement it. So they will continue to be Australia's single point of contact. So any internationals who want to work with the space policy or with the space industry in Australia, any Australian companies or groups who want to promote what their capability is, the Space Coordination Office will become their first and best contact.
Now, Naomi, there's a number of things in the policy that some people might have wished were there. No manned space flight, no planetary missions. Why not?
This was our first policy. It's a very pragmatic policy. It's to lay a very strong foundation. It doesn't say that in future activity that these things may not come along, but we couldn't sustain those activities now. Given the financial environment, this is a good way to lay a strong foundation for our industry that allows it to grow in the future. It doesn't say that in the university's research won't continue in these areas. Australia is actually very active in planetary science, but we will not be sending our own probes at this stage. So that is an area for international collaboration, so our researchers can still access those activities through collaboration. But what it says is that this is not a priority that the government will invest in at the moment.
So overall, are you confident that this policy is actually going to be put into practice?
Yes, I am. I think this is a great policy. I think it's a very sound and smart policy. I think it's exactly what we needed now. I think it gives us something to grow on. I think it encourages collaboration with the industry, and it allows us to fulfil our potential to showcase our skills internationally, collaborate that way, and build on the future. So I think if we tap into that innovation aspect of the policy, I think it's very bright for the there's an opportunity for the industry to develop a good economic case to communicate that to the public, and in future years we might see some of those the areas that the public likes to see as well. So it doesn't say we won't ever do it. It just says that this was not the first step. This is we've taken the first small step. There's still more steps to come, but it's a great time to be in the industry. I'm certainly very excited about where it might head, and looking forward to talking to you in 10 years' time about all those achievements we've had.
Okay. Thank you for joining us on the Space Show, Naomi.
Thanks, Andrew.
And I was talking there with Naomi Mathers, a member of the Space Industry Innovation Council. And I must say a big thank you to Naomi, because she picked us up at the airport, took us up to Mount Stromlo, drove us out to Tidman Villa, out to Honeysuckle Creek and back to the airport, and was a wonderful host in Canberra.